And welcome back to another episode of Leaving the Village. I am your host, Kathleen Reynolds.
And I am your host, Jessica Goforth.
And today we are going to make a, we're going to respond to the letter that IBLP put out last week. That is officially entitled Response to Media Inquiry, which is such a riveting title. It's on their website, iblp.org, and it's dated Saturday, January 29th, 2022. And the reason that we wanted to respond to this is because it's a response that on the surface actually looks pretty decent if you're looking at it from the outside.
Yeah, it looks pretty innocuous, I guess you could say. Yeah.
But if you are looking at it from the inside, and from someone who, as someone who knows, you know, what's going on, everyone that I know who has been a part of ATI and IBLP took a look at that and went, oh my gosh, that is a steaming pile of crap. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of wanted to go through that and parse it bit by bit and kind of explain why it's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So
do you want me to start by like just reading the whole thing in its entirety and then we can take it piece by piece, or do you want to just do it piece by piece as we go?
Yeah, let's read the whole thing in entirety first and then we'll do it bit by bit. But I'll read the introduction real quick and then you can read the whole thing.
Okay.
So it says, understanding we live in a world with 24-hour news and social media postings. We wanted to post a response IBLP made to recent inquiries from an NBCNews.com reporter. We think it is important to post IBLP's response so that when news articles come out, you will know what IBLP said. This is what IBLP sent to NBCNews.com.
Okay. Over the years, thousands of people have participated in the programs, seminars, and conferences sponsored by the Institute in Basic Life Principles, Inc. Life involves daily decisions, and IBLP has taught and encouraged everyone to make wise choices based upon principles of life revealed in the Bible and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. IBLP has also published materials to help individuals and families in their personal and family lives as Christians. IBLP would never condone, nor do we tolerate, abuse of anyone. There is no teaching by IBLP that women are inferior to men, because there is no such teaching in the Bible. From a biblical perspective, all people are equal in value before God, despite the fact that we are all different with varying gifts and talents and may have different complementary roles. The information IBLP has about those who participate in IBLP programs is limited, and IBLP does not comment on the personal lives of its program participants. Regarding IBLP's 990s, they are open to the public as soon as the IRS makes them available. IBLP's income is from donations, conference fees, and from the occasional sale of unused capital assets, such as real estate, other revenue. Programs and conference fees are less than in the days of the large crowds who attended basic seminars around the country. IBLP has now made that teaching available for free online. IBLP's goal continues to be providing opportunities and materials to help people learn more about Christ and the life he desires us to live. The different opportunities and resources available through IBLP are more fully explained at its website, www.iblp.org. IBLP no longer has extended residential programs at training centers. Its programs are now limited to several days or weeks and are mostly conducted at the Big Sandy, Texas campus. The lawsuit you mentioned was voluntarily dismissed by the plaintiffs during the discovery stage, specifically during the period when evidence was being exchanged between the parties. Because of a protective and confidentiality order, IBLP cannot comment on the identity of the unnamed plaintiffs and has no comment with respect to the claims alleged. Social media and the internet, for which there is little or no accountability or in-person interaction, does not seem to be in harmony with the teachings Jesus gave for resolving offenses. Described in the procedures found in Matthew 18:15-17, we believe that it is best for people to personally communicate their grievances directly so that resolution can be sought in a Christian way. If someone disagrees with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the way, gospel of Jesus Christ is in all caps, or is capitalized each word, that is their decision. But those who do believe in Jesus as Savior are also free to live according to the teachings of Jesus and to speak the truth in love. Sincerely, IBLP Communications Department.
So,
dated Saturday, January 29th, 2022.
Yeah. So, of course, there's been a whole storm of media attention on ATI and IBLP once again. Thank you, Duggars. And thank you, other reporters who have been really digging into ATI and its teachings and the people involved. There's been a good amount of attention on the Bates family and some of their really racist posts and some of the other leaders who have been exposed as sexual predators, things like that. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, all of this, of course, is going to lead to mainstream news outlets reaching out to IBLP going, what do you have to say for this?
Mm-hmm.
And they're good at, I mean, if nothing else, they're good at crafting a good reply. They've always been very good at wordsmithery, so to speak.
Well, it's kind of what the entire thing is founded on.
Yeah,
is the exactly. ability to manipulate and change the meaning of words from what they're really saying.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing that actually really caught my eye, which is kind of weird, is they said over the years, thousands of people have participated in the program seminars and conferences sponsored by the Institute and Basic Life Principles Incorporated. And actually on their same website, on their About IBLP, under What We Do, under their seminars, it says over 2.5 million people have attended our seminars. And
yeah, so actually, why they wouldn't say millions,
why they would say thousands instead of millions, is just weird. And I actually think that millions is probably accurate.
It is, yeah, it's quite accurate.
And simply because this started in the early 60s, and they used to sell out giant arenas and right.
When so I attended, it was packed. It was an
absolutely.
Like 10. It was early 80s in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they did it every year there. So they had people coming from all over.
Say hi, Puddleglum. Say hi, Puddleglum.
He's just cruising back there. He's just sitting in his pile of clothes like, I'm happy.
I've launched a fairly large online reselling business, and I have a death pile to end all death piles of clothing. And, of course, everything gets, like, don't freak out that my dog is laying on the clothes, because everything gets cleaned and lint rolled and disinfected and everything before it gets sent. But he thinks that it's quite the comfortable place to lay. You can see him right there. And also, this is our first video that we're going to be...
Yes.
that we're going to be posting on YouTube. We're going to start...
We're learning as we go here.
Yeah.
This is
posting some videos on YouTube along with our audio episodes. And so hopefully we'll have at least partial, if not full, episodes on YouTube and have multiple places for you to listen slash watch. Mm-hmm.
But we do apologize for how messy our... I'm in my closet.
And
this is my studio.
I'm basically in a closet too. Yeah. To me, them saying thousands instead of millions just speaks to how disorganized and haphazardly everything was kind of thrown together, because again, like it's not... For anybody who's been involved in this, everybody knows that it's been at least a couple, if not 3 or 4 million people who have been through different things involved with the Institute. And so the fact that they said thousands just means that they're really not thinking. They're trying to they're trying to deflect more than they're trying to really think out a response. And that's a red flag if ever I saw one. So then it goes on, life involves daily decisions, and IBLP has taught and encouraged everyone to make wise choices. actually more like calculated choices, based upon the principles of life revealed in the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, really not so much based on the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ as calculated decisions based on the cherry-picked and manipulated version that they've put together to create an extremely an abusively patriarchal view of life, and can then stamp on it, thus saith the Lord. So that's the first paragraph. Do you want to take on the second one?
And the second one, they're going into, they published materials that help individuals and families in their personal lives as Christians, as if it's just some, you know, Bible studies that they sent out. And so that's misleading. It's a lot more than just published materials.
They're trying to make themselves out to be something like Focus on the Family, or just a publishing house. That's just it. Like, we're not a cult. We're just a publishing house.
Right. Exactly. And then this just, the IBLP would never condone nor tolerate abuse of anyone. Again, the wordplay here is that they can define abuse differently than you do and I do. And so that word abuse in their minds is open to interpretation. And so therefore they never could, but they do condone capital punishment. and corporal punishment. Corporal punishment. Although probably capital punishment
probably
too.
Capital punishment too, yeah.
But corporal punishment is what I meant. As well as, you know, well into older teens, you know, there's no limit set of any sort. And then the abuse of wives and children has always been you know, excused, allowed, protected. You know, men are protected, period. As long as they're the abuser, they are always, and their own people.
Yeah,
especially
and again,
Bill Gothard.
Right. And again, if you go back and listen to the episodes that both Jess and I did on our Indianapolis Training Center or ITC stories, we were both specifically and directly abused at the training centers. So, they actually do condone and tolerate and perpetrate abuse of people because, hi, we're here to tell the stories.
Hello.
So,
And they're well documented. The abuses are
very
so well
documented.
So well documented and
that
corroborated.
Go way
and
far beyond what we experienced. Like, what we experienced is like a walk in the park compared to what some people have experienced.
Just by fraction. Anyway, the next sentence really makes me mad. There is no teaching by IBLP that women are inferior to men because there is no such teaching in the Bible. First of all, both statements are untrue. There are oodles of teachings throughout the Bible where women are specifically placed beneath men.
Yeah, and in fact, one of them says
inferior positions.
Giving honor unto the wife is unto the weaker vessel.
Yeah, so that's categorically untrue. So, any biblical scholar will tell you that it's in there. Now, whether your particular denomination believes that those verses are literal or believes that those verses are intended to communicate, you know, a hierarchy or whatever, that's all obviously open for interpretation, and many churches do not actively teach inequality of the sexes. However, ATI did and does actively teach inequality of the sexes in explicit black and white, and has always prided themselves on prioritizing the importance of patriarchy. And they used that term when I was growing up. I don't know if they've stopped using it now, but I remember believing that God's design was patriarchy, was male leadership. And they wanted to strengthen the patriarchal systems of home life, of family life. And that was never a secret. It's never been hidden. It's never been something they've tried to hide until, I guess, today, because this is brand new for me.
Yeah, and they go on to say, from a biblical perspective, all people are equal in value before God, despite the fact that we are all different with varying gifts and talents and may have different complementary roles.
Right.
And I think,
and by putting complementary roles in there, they're giving their complementarian, their shout out to complementarianism, which is the more attractive term for patriarchy.
Right.
And so people have switched to using that term, complementarianism,
as
instead
opposed
of
to egalitarianism.
Right.
Because within Christianity, especially within Orthodox, like, and I'm speaking small o Orthodox Christianity, there's generally two lines of thought as far as gender roles go within the home, and the one is complementarianism and the one is egalitarianism. And the complementarianism is the typical man is the head of the home, spiritually and literally and every other way. And now that can, there's a wide spectrum of that can go from very totalitarian complementarianism to complementarianism in name only. I know some families that are complementarian in name only, but they don't really act. They function very egalitarian in everyday life, and it's kind of a non-issue. But if you were to press them, they would stick to the complementarian theology. And then there's also egalitarianism, which believes that the complementarianism was more the Bible was, they still believe that the Bible is inerrant and inspired, so on and so forth, but they also believe that it was a product of its day, and because of the time in which it was written, you know, God couldn't just say, hey, Paul, write an egalitarian marriage into all of this, because everybody would be like, you know, record scratch. What? It would be this whole, like, I have no idea. What are you talking about? Women are stupid. You can't, like, huh?
Women have hormones.
They didn't even know what hormones were. Like, they should be like, women are, women be cray. Like, what are you talking about? This whole world is gonna go to, you know, hell in a handbasket if you do that. So, but now that we understand, like, science, and we've moved forward, you know, 2,000 years through, women's suffrage and, you know, stuff like that, and we understand that, women aren't necessarily crazy. That...
Who knew?
I have a lot more to say on that, but I won't.
Right?
Like, we're both sitting here holding our tongues. That, you know, anyway. In fact, we can be equal partners. And, I mean, obviously, in any partnership, there's usually one person that's more of a leader than another. And that might be the man, or it might be the woman. And either way, it's fine, but you both have equal authority, and you both have an equal place in the home and in the relationship. It's not one person who has headship over the other person.
Exactly.
So that's the difference between complementarianism and egalitarianism. And of course, ATI very strongly would stick with complementarianism. What, of course, they would say is, yes, in actual value to God, that women are, like, as far as their soul is worth,
right,
that, yes, their soul is as valued as a man's soul.
Gee, but thanks.
But at this point, we're, like, splitting hairs. This is semantics.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, we've alluded to this whole thing before, and we really need to do a deep dive into the whole grace thing. But where ATI very strongly says, you know, they believe in salvation as basically a, they don't believe in works-based salvation. They believe in salvation is a free gift, as a grace-based salvation. But when you look at ATI's definition of grace, that skews everything, and it makes it entirely works-based, because ATI's definition of grace is the desire and power to do God's will. So when you put it into the verse that says it is by grace we are saved through faith,
that would read that it is by my desire and power to do God's will that I am saved.
So therefore, by works.
Right. Because that's works.
Right, exactly. So it gets down to semantics, and it gets down to the very nitty-gritty, like, micro level of them, like, hedging every little thing. So,
but by putting in the word different complementary roles, they're just saying we believe in patriarchy. Uh-huh. Just so it's a dog whistle. It's making sure that their people know we haven't actually changed our position. We're still in the same spot, but we're saying right. what we have to say so that it reads correctly for the public, for a non-religious reader.
Right.
And then you move into the next paragraph. You've got the information IVLP has about those who participate in IBLP programs is limited, and IBLP does not comment on the personal lives of its program participants.
So, oh, we have someone who is just convicted of what?
Yeah.
What was he? Who?
Yeah. Well, what's this guy's name? Oh, we forgot.
Oh, wait, you're saying he was from one of the most recognizable IBLP families out there? Like,
oh.
The name kind of sounds familiar, rings but a bell. We don't know anything about them. Like, we have really limited information on them.
Ugh.
So we're not going to comment anything on, like, anybody who's part of our group that, like, seriously, people. It would be so easy to say we do not support CSAM or anyone responsible for creating or proliferating
or consuming
it. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Hello? And we stand by the justice system. Like,
right. That's an, that's
that would
thing.
Not that be been... hard to say. That would not yeah. be hard to say.
Yeah. To act like they don't keep up with the Duggars is like, because that's what that statement is saying.
Right.
We don't keep up with the Duggars. We don't know what they're up to.
Right.
Excuse
instead, this
me?
Is a complete.
They speak at every conference. Their entire family was standing up on stage at every event they could get them to.
Josh's wife has like multiple videos of her speaking
yeah,
at like
speaking.
Commit
yeah.
and
yeah.
all sorts of crap.
And Josh like, too. And Josh too. So to pretend like that is not a
they're just like we don't know anything.
And I don't know why they were being asked about their IRS money and how they make their money. I haven't seen the article yet that's being
I don't know. We can speculate though because there have been rumors about them not correctly paying taxes and things like that for decades.
A long time.
So that's I'm sure that's what that was about. And then where did IBLP's income come from? Well, it's more and more coming from sales of assets, which we happen to know because they are selling a lot of stuff. IBLP
places we've all been.
Yeah, IBLP, and like they still have a lot. Like they still have a lot of property. They still have a lot of like semis. Yeah. They have a lot of furniture. They still have a lot of money tied up in stuff that they could sell.
Yeah.
But IBLP's income is from donations, conference fees, and from the occasional sale of unused capital assets, such as real estate, other revenue. The program and conference fees are less than in the days of the large crowds who attended basic seminars across the country. IBLP has now made that teaching available for free online. I love how they are making it look like it's because they've made the material available online instead of just like the numbers have really dwindled.
Yeah, no one would go.
Like yes, they have made the material available, but there's a reason they're selling off all of their properties, and there's a reason that they're like not using their properties that they have because they don't have people to fill them anymore. They used to be bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
And like back in the day when we were in, they were seriously bursting at the seams. And as fast as they could get a new training center, they would fill it.
Yeah.
And they would fill it with new programs and with people. And like, it would be gangbusters immediately. But that's not happening anymore. Like, it's a ghost town. And
Big Sandy is where they pour all their energy at this point, which
they
obtained Big Sandy after I left. So I, at least as far as I know,
they did.
Yeah. And so I've never been there or had any.
I've never been there either. But I remember when they got it. And then when they moved Alert from the North Woods to
down
Big
there.
Sandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember that whole transition. And I remember just feeling bad for the Alert cadets because they're going from this really nice, cool climate in the North Woods to this
nice, cool climate. It was frozen half the year.
Horrible.
They spent half the year tramping around in the snow. I was actually like, oh my gosh, they must be so glad they met to go to Texas now.
No, oh my gosh, because they're like dying of heat exhaustion.
Yeah, but they nearly got frostbite up there. It was miserable. They had them tromping around in that snow.
Better than dying of heat stroke.
24. I hate snow.
See, this is how dressing at Lake.
This is our other big argument.
I would rather be cold than hot, and she'd rather be hot than cold.
I much rather.
I can't.
As far as with the climate I want to live in, I don't like being hot, but I like a climate that's used to how to handle hot, because when I get hot, I like. But cold, I don't want to deal with coats and hats and gloves and boots and mud and snow and salt and scrapers.
I don't want to walk outside and feel like I'm going to die.
Oh, I love it. I'd much rather do that, because I can run and get in my air-conditioned car and be just fine.
It takes forever for a car to cool down.
I have a fancy car.
You are nuts. Okay, I'm sorry. Like, not because you're female, but you are just nuts. Anyway,
this is a constant argument. We just like, I argue with everyone about this. I'm like, no, cold is for no.
See,
never going
we
back.
Are the same person in a lot of ways, but this is one of the ways that we are not the same person. Like,
not
just
no cold for me. So yeah, I remember when they moved him down there. My ex husband was really involved in Alert back in the day, and so but when it was up in the North Woods. And, I remember thinking, oh, man, they moved them all down to Big Sandy. So, at first, that was all that was there was Alert.
Yeah,
and
now
then,
pretty much everything's down
and
there.
And then everything is there. And I don't know if they've sold yet the property in Chicago. Have they sold their main?
No, they've been selling stuff off.
Around
but,
it.
But,
because they owned almost a whole neighborhood.
Yeah, I think they've sold individual plots, but I think the core of it is still there. And I know they've been selling a lot of the furniture and a lot of stuff like that has been sold off.
I've heard that the building itself is in terrible repair. Like the main headquarters building is like water damage, and like it would be. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that's that they're talking about that.
And then the lawsuit you mentioned was voluntarily dismissed by the plaintiffs during the discovery stage, specifically during the period when evidence was being exchanged between parties.
Right.
Because
now they're going to act like they didn't have any evidence, so
right,
that's why they dropped it.
True, and it really came down to it was not that there was a lack of evidence. It had to do a lot with statute of limitations.
Yeah.
It had a lot to do with just how difficult it was going to be to actually prosecute.
Yes,
and
it had to do with the fact that the state of Illinois has ridiculously narrow windows and ridiculously narrow definitions for everything. And the plaintiffs were going through hell. We will interview
Some of them,
at some point so that they can talk about what it was like to go through that. But I know I did. I walked with some very close friends through the whole process, and I've never seen braver, you know, harder work than what they were all doing to try to hold Bill Gothard and the board accountable for what was done to them and what happened to them. And letting that lawsuit go because they could not, they did the everything, it was just too tedious. It was not possible to get what was required by law there. In another state, in another part of the country, it would have been a different story, completely different situation. But Illinois and that district where they were, where they had to take this lawsuit, it was just not, it wasn't going to work. And realizing that was extremely painful for them. And yeah, it was a very hard fought case and a deeply painful loss to have to let it go.
Yeah. And then social media and the internet, for which there is little or no accountability or in-person interaction, does not seem to be in harmony with the teachings of Jesus for resolving offenses.
I think
what they're talking about here is just like why they haven't made certain public statements.
Well, they're also saying that they're just basically saying all these naughty students that are out there talking about this, they're just, they're not,
well, yeah,
they're being bad and they're not talking to us. And if they talk to us, we might be able to resolve this. And
they but we know from experience that's not true, which is why we're not that's why Jess and I have not gone and talked to ATI, because we know from the experience of everybody else that we know that nothing's going to happen. They're going to, they're going to tiptoe around everything and they're going to act like nothing happened. They're going to gaslight. Yeah. They're going to do everything. They're going to do everything wrong. They're going to re-traumatize and nothing is going to end up being done, because that's what cults do. And that's what ATI has done. And so,
and that is honestly how they got some of the statute of limitations to run out.
Yeah.
By doing that, by keeping the victims in an endless circle of, wait a minute, I don't understand. What happened? Now, what are you saying? Now, can you explain it again? Like, because you said this last time, and now this time I don't understand. And they did that to keep some of the victims caught in this cycle. I know of that happening personally. From of other people that happening to them, and many people felt like they just went on a wild goose chase that just was of zero value. They ended up being feeling re-traumatized, exactly like you said, re-victimized. There's zero reason for to go down that road, and them giving this example of Matthew 18 verses 15 through 17, I mean, okay, that's fine if you're also a Christian, but not everybody's a Christian, and that's, or wants to believe that that's how you handle crimes. An offense is one thing, but crimes are totally different. And what's been done to a lot of us are literal crimes.
Oh, yeah.
So this just doesn't apply to crimes.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't. Mm-mm. An offense is you hurt my feelings. An offense is You said my baby's ugly. You know, that's an offense. Like, you know? Not that you warped my brain.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like, you literally.
That's a hill I'll die on.
Literally, like, warped and injured my brain over years of time.
I'll need therapy for the rest of my life because of you. Literally. But, oh, yeah, let's go chat about it.
Yep. Let's.
That's not a thing.
Let's resolve this person to person.
Person to person.
That's not. No, that's not how this works.
Nope.
And then if someone disagrees with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is their decision. But those who do believe in Jesus as Savior are also free to live according to the teachings of Jesus and speak the truth in love. So basically,
I have no idea what they're trying to say there.
We're Christians. Oh, I can tell you what they're trying to say. Hey, all, we're Christians, and therefore, because we're Christians, we're free to speak the truth in love, which is what we're doing. We're speaking the truth in love. And anybody who is not a Christian, they're all, you know, free to go to hell. But, you know, we're Christians, so we're free to speak the truth in love because Jesus.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, what is the truth in love? What is it they're speaking truth about? Where's their truth? Is it their teachings? Is it their, you know?
Oh, it's everything. It's their teachings. It's their evading. It's their whatever they want.
It's basically they're claiming we have the First Amendment on our side.
It's their moral relativism.
Right.
Which they would
accuse us of.
Oh, I'll bet the soundbite will make it to somebody high up in ATI. And they will scream and pull their hair out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, I'm saying it right now. Moral relativism. To all of the board members in ATI.
Right there. Right there in your statement.
You work based on moral relativism. You rail against it, but you work based
on you trade
moral
in it.
Relativism.
Yes.
That is your entire life.
Yep.
And if you'd like to know how, I'd be happy to talk to you. I'd be happy to talk to you right here on this podcast, but I know you won't because...
Well, that would be hilarious. You know, that hasn't even crossed my mind. That hasn't even crossed my mind to try to interview someone on IBOP staff.
Oh, Gil Bates. Gil Bates, if this makes it to you, you are a board member of ATI. You have been a board member for quite a while. We would be happy to interview you. We will give you a fair interview.
There you go.
We will give you a fair interview.
But I'd love to see that.
I'd
love to see them reach out.
Be happy if you would like to reach out. Gil Bates, especially. But any other ATI board member, if you would like to reach out and speak your piece, we will give you a fair interview.
There you go.
I don't think you will because I think you're too afraid to be interviewed. But mm-hmm. if you do.
We're here. You know where to find us. All
we
at the
have
end of the
20 years
podcast.
Of ATI experience between us.
Well, I was in over 11 years. All of my growing up.
Yeah, I was in
connected through
family.
My dad
will even come and
that.
Sit in if you need. If you need my dad to sit in.
If you need an authority figure.
My dad will come and sit in. I can say that right now without asking. He will happily sit in on that interview. If you would like.
That's awesome.
But this is in all seriousness an invitation to any ATI board member who wants to come in and say their piece and be interviewed honestly.
Mm-hmm. There you
go. Here's your chance. Let us know. Reach out.
There you go. And I just think that, you know, I want to say that we saw this statement and we thought, you know, after all of our coverage of the Duggars and everything to do with the trial and the Duggar trial, that's all we've covered actually of the Duggars. And you know what? That's all we are going to cover of the Duggars. We have covered that because it is relevant to us and to our healing and our process. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, we're not covering the Duggars on this. Like, if you go searching through our episodes, you're not going to find us talking about Duggars anywhere else except the episodes that are labeled the Duggar trial. Because this isn't a podcast about gossip. This is a podcast Mm-mm. about ATI, and this trial has attracted real media attention, and with ATI's spinning their side of it, we felt like it was really important that we go through it and talk about it so that everybody who listens to our show and has been following along can get a chance to see from our perspective, because at the beginning, like we were saying, this reads very much like any other statement from a corporation or ministry that is pretty mainline. Mm-hmm. But hidden all throughout it is a lot of dog whistles, and we picked up on them right away. So we wanted to kind of go through that and show you that. And we are going to sign off for now because we have more Handmaid's Tale coming. We are really excited to get back into what we love to talk about, which is the actual experiences that we've had, and get some, keep going through the wisdom booklet. We're really excited to finish mm-hmm. up that.
Yep.
So yeah,
and stick with us. More wisdom booklets, because there are a lot of them, and get into some other curriculum and get into some interviews. And we have an announcement coming up.
Yep.
And
yes, we have an exciting announcement. So stay tuned for that. So we got more coming up. We can't wait to get rolling out. Again, stick with us and bear with us as we learn to turn this podcast also into a YouTube channel. So we're wading in very trepidatiously. But thank you all for coming along. We've enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you very much.
We are gonna sign off and see you next time on Leaving the Village.
Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up another episode of Leaving the Village.
If you haven't already, hit subscribe so you get our episodes as soon as they drop. Also, check out our social media pages at Leaving the Village Pod on Instagram as well as Facebook.
We will post behind-the-scenes photos, links to more information, and sneak peeks at upcoming guests. Message us with your stories and you might be featured on a future episode. Also, if you love the show, rate and comment on your favorite podcast platform. It really helps a lot.
Speaking of helping us, you can actually sponsor our show on Patreon, which also gets you access to exciting exclusive content. Our show is written and produced by me, Jessica Goforth, and Kathleen Reynolds. Special thanks to our families who are so supportive of this show, and to you, our fans. Thank you so much, and see you next time on Leaving the Village.